your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coming up on podcast 1441, a car reveal day today. Love these shows that we do. BMW i7's turn. Stick around. Also on the show today, we're talking about used EV prices again. Been a popular topic on the podcast recently. How EV companies are trying to get those raw material deals in so that we can get to buy the EVs that we want. And why a long wheelbase ID Buzz has been spotted and it's heading towards the US, hopefully sooner rather than later. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Wednesday, 20th of April. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll kick off with news about Kia revealing the Niro EV pricing as electric experience dealership tours also get underway to help people get into electric vehicles. Kia has revealed the pricing of their electric Niro as it unites its zero emissions models at the electric experience events they're doing all over the UK for dealerships. Good as well for those working at dealerships to, you know, hear from the brand itself, but also for, no doubt, those events for customers, like they did when they took the Kia EV6 on tour and get those vehicles into showrooms and let people get their sticky little mitts all over them. The Niro EV, don't call it the e-Niro, it's the Niro EV now, a worldwide unified name rather than having different names around the world. E-Niro is dead, long live Niro EV. Niro EV starts at £35,000 for the two, because it's the specs are 2, 3, and 4. Don't ask me why it's not 1, 2, and 3. It slightly hurts my brain, but that's just because I like things to line up. So the entry level 2, not the 1, is 35 grand. It's 37 grand for the mid-range. It's £41,000 for the top spec 4 model. The Kia president and chief exec, Paul Philpott, telling Automotive AM Online that the UK's quota of EV6s also sold out for this year. So order an EV6 now and you'll be getting it in 2023. Customers can pre-order the all-new Niro EV now. Deliveries expected Q3. The 2 version, always a bit weird calling it 2, 3 and 4, but anyway. The 2, or maybe just 2, not even the 2. Anyway, Niro EV2 comes with the big 10.25-inch touchscreens, the heated rear seats, the ventilated front seats. No, I'm reading out the specs for the 4. Let me start again. The Niro EV2, it's fine, I'll edit this, you'll never know. The Niro EV2 has the 8-inch touchscreen display with the 10.25-inch instrument cluster and the 17-inch alloys and the 11-kilowatt onboard AC charger. Now, the specs for the 4, yes, has the 10.25-inch touchscreen and instrument clusters. It's got the heated rear seats, the ventilated front seats, the power boot lid, the electric sunroof, the premium sound, memory seating, and, front passenger lumbar support. No one tell Elon Musk. The new Nero EV has a 64.8 kilowatt hour usable battery pack, 287 miles of range on that, 0 to 62 miles an hour, 7.8 seconds. Nero EV is a great car, by the way. Never owned one, I think. We'll own one this year. Although, saying that, I've been doing all my maths, my sums, my home budgeting on spending about £28,000 on a Nero EV, because that's what we thought, that we would change cars in April or May. Look at the date. So we'll be changing our car in May. And so we were working our way towards that, thinking that's what we can afford. I looked at Auto Trader a couple of days ago. There is nothing that I can afford under 30. Now, man, oh man, we are talking about EV pricing on the podcast today, but that has kind of blown my budgets out the water. Maybe just a lack of stock or rising prices, more like it, actually. Yeah, I was looking at Neros for maybe 27 and a half. Around Christmas time, thinking, great, well, we can make the move to one of those. Great family car. Have it for maybe 6 months, 4 or 6 months. Never owned one. And, I'm not sure. Not sure how we're going to make those two things line up. Now, let's talk about the brand new BMW i7. Oh, I love a podcast when we get to talk about a car launch. BMW 7 Series is their showpiece for luxury and technology. And the i7 is the electric version of the 7 Series unveiled today, says CNN.com. In the US, it's starts at $120,000, 536 horsepower for the iDrive, the xDrive 60, 300 miles on a full charge. So looking at its competitors, the EQS, the Lucid Air, obviously that is significantly less distance. The other luxury brands are based on dedicated EV chassis, but the i7 is not. It's a 7 Series with batteries and electric motors and things stuffed in all those places. Now, that's unfair of me to say, because yes, it's a compromise car, but it was designed to be a compromise car. It's not like they've taken a like the old days, a combustion car, whipped out the engine and been like, oh, where can we just get some batteries under the back seat or something. So they did design this many years ago to be multiple powertrains, but I've said many times I think BMW messed up with that particular strategy, but not my car company. I'm not the one signing checks and paying the bills, so maybe that is the right thing for them to do as a company. BMW has engineered all its new models to be built on either internal combustion engines, fully electric, or plug-ins. BMW executives insist it's not just a matter of stuffing batteries where they'll go, but rather these vehicles were intended to have EV powertrains from the outset. But whilst that may be true, you can't get away from the fact that if you are going to design that car to have a massive old lump up front, you've got to have room for the engine. And look at the Mercedes-Benz EQS, look at the VW ID3, look at the Tesla Model 3 or Y. Those vehicles on a platform designed to be EV, you don't need a massive amount of room up front. You get more room in the passenger compartment because you can move it forwards. Either way, BMW chairman Oliver Zipse are saying customers don't need to choose between different models when they come to choose their next BMW. If they want a 7 Series, the only decision to make is what's the powertrain I'm going to choose. The downside, though, is that you do get compromises, of course, and sometimes significant ones. BMW 7 Series buyers get a 31-inch video screen that literally folds down from the roof to provide the rear passengers with a massive widescreen experience. It is an option, but if you are going to be driven around in this vehicle, or, you know, you just really like your kids, or maybe in China, like a lot of these vehicles are going to be sold in China where people will be driven around in them. They've got that 31-inch full-width screen that folds down so you can, I mean, you can't really watch a widescreen movie because that aspect ratio is going to have some horrible black bars somewhere, but I'm sure they'll use the real estate of that screen. The 7 Series will drive in and out of parking spaces using your mobile app. Yes, it has Summon, like Tesla. A head-up display shows the data on the car windscreen. It'll even align images and text to overlay onto roads and other features in the real world. That augmented reality, it's called. It's really, really clever. Arriving in xDrive 60 form, the i7 has dual-motor front and rear-mounted electric motors, 573 brake horsepower, like I say, 0 to 100 kph, that's 62 miles an hour in 4.7 seconds. Battery size, in case you're wondering, 101.7 kilowatt hours. Now, official range over here, WLTP, 388 miles. More than perhaps an Audi e-tron GT, but a lot less than an EQS 450 Plus. The i7 has a maximum charging speed of 195 kilowatts from a DC charger, and so that is right up there with the best luxury cars around. No, it is not Taycan or e-tron GT fast. It's not even, you know, Ioniq 5 or EV6 fast, but I think that's the minimum. If you're spending 120 grand plus on a car, you do need to have the latest, greatest technology, and you do need it to have charging around 200 kilowatts plus. In the back seats, all models are the long wheelbase version, though. In the back seats, where your hand would rest, depending on whether you're in the left or the right rear seat, on where the door is, the door handle, for instance, where you would open the windows. That has a little 5.5-inch touchscreen. You can change the audio system, move the seats, because obviously it reclines a long way in the back seat, climate, ambient lighting, etc. I mean, these kind of things tend to date, I think. Ask me in 5 years' time what the little screens look like on the doors, and I'm not sure that it'll look so great as now. I'm not sure it looks that great now, to be honest with you. But packed with technology, according to CNN.com. According to Motor1.com, every 7 Series gets four-corner air suspension, self-leveling, electronically controlled dampers, and you'd hope so too. It's a 7 Series after all. The adaptive suspension lowers it by half an inch in sport mode, or raises it to 0.8 inches for rough roads. The i7 lowers above 75 miles an hour as well to help the aero. It hunkers down on those German Autobahn high-speed blasts. With adaptive steering as well and rear wheel steering at 3.5 degrees. It helps maneuverability, according to Motor One. The new curved display up front has a single continuous piece of glass with two screens behind it. The new interaction bar, which is new to the 7 Series, or the i7, has this crystalline surface and touch capacitive controls for ventilation and climate. I don't know. I miss buttons. Long live buttons. Either way, everything's on the touchscreen, as you would probably expect with a very high-tech car. What do you think of the BMW i7, the new 7 Series? Have you seen it? Let me know. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email if you'd like to share your thoughts. I'm not keen only because it looks so conventional. And that's not an aesthetic, by the way. Let me explain. When I see this very, very conventional 7 Series with batteries in, I know it hasn't been optimized for EV. Now, that's not to say it hasn't got great technology. It charges pretty quickly. It's pretty fast. Pretty good high speed. I didn't even check the top speed. I think I read 135 or 145 mile an hour. Look, it's great and expensive and luxurious and wonderful. And, you know, people will be driven around in it all day. But when I look at it and that massive bonnet stretching out in front of the driver, I know that's wasted space. I know, and you know, it's not designed to be an EV, and only an EV. And that's the only way to make a truly great electric vehicle. So that's my perception of it. Doesn't mean this isn't a great car, and if you like that conventional styling, then for you it would be a plus. For me, it's a negative. Not because I don't like, it doesn't hurt my eyes, but I know what it means. And it means they haven't optimized, and that means it's not good enough. So let me know your thoughts. Okay, coming up very soon, we will talk about how a new giant tanker, yes, the kind of things that ship fossil fuels, is going electric. That's ironic. And the long wheelbase ID Buzz has been spied. Stick around, those stories on the way.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Now we'll talk about Tesla selling used cars for more than new ones. The electrification of cars brought many anomalies, but one of them is used EV pricing, as I mentioned earlier in this show with my own experiences. Some vehicles currently for sale, though, on Tesla's official website, the Certified Pre-Owned Program, has highlighted this phenomenon in China. Tesla China's website has 7 official used certified vehicles worth more than you would pay for a brand new one. The standard range models selling for about 287,000 RMB, which is 7,500 more than a new one. In addition to the Model 3, the Model Y is also for sale used on Tesla China's website. Rear-wheel drive version from Model Y. There's one in eastern China with 4,300 kilometers on the clock for 326,500 RMB, 10,000 RMB more than buying a brand new one. And the only reason I can see for that is impatience. The only reason I can see people wanting that vehicle is they can't be bothered to wait for a new one. If there's any other reason you can think of, let me know. Maybe it's a sign that new prices of Teslas will be going up in the future. No doubt that inflation is catching, you know, many people out around the world. Car prices is one of many things going up, and I can't see any other reason why the used cars, official used cars from Tesla, are so much more than the new ones that simply there's a long waiting list. You know, also I would point out, this doesn't do the brand any harm. People want Teslas. People love Tesla. And by making sure that at least on your official channels, you are keeping the used prices very high, and you can't do anything about the third-party market, but you can certainly influence it. And that keeps the car's reputation as being a hot seller very high. People always tell me, oh, Teslas are sold out for the rest of the year. I have known plenty of people that have ordered a Model 3, not so much a Model Y, but a Model 3, and they've been told, oh, the car's 9 months away. And when their order is in, this is particularly in Europe and the UK, by the way, and obviously they make a certain amount of certain popular specifications, and they put them on the boat, and then they try and match them up with people who have got orders. I know plenty of people that have had the car in, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, they've got a call from Tesla saying, oh, you wanted a blue one with white interior. Like, yeah, we have one of those. We have your car. It's not your car. They just made popular specs. And so, yeah, Tesla may be, in air quotes, sold out. And many of those pro-Tesla Twitter accounts like to see, you can't get one for a whole year. That's not true. I've known plenty of people that have all of a sudden got a call being, hey, right, we've matched you. A bit like like a dating app. We've matched you. Your car's going to be here in, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months even, but much, much sooner. Equally, I've heard plenty of people that have been waiting a couple of years for a car, like a new S or an X. So I'm not saying it's the same for everyone. Now let's talk about getting hold of the parts that you need for an EV, because if you can't do that, you can't make the cars that you and I want to buy. German auto parts supplier Schaeffler has signed a raw materials deal to ensure the supply of rare earth magnets in Europe. Automakers planning on massive moves into EV have agreed contracts in recent years with miners for cobalt, lithium and nickel. But what about rare earths as well for the magnets? Well, Reuters pointing out that's exactly what this German company is doing. Long-term supply deals. That's exactly what you and I want to hear about, because it means they get to make the cars that we want to go buy. Last December, GM had an agreement to source rare earth magnets in the US, but 98% of them are still supplied by China. And in the European Union, in Great Britain and the United States, all scrambling to build domestic rare earth industries to not be reliant on China, says Reuters. BMW's CEO also in the news. I didn't want to put this so high in the running order. It's kind of more of as an aside, but Oliver Zipser saying that EV companies or car companies must be careful not to become dependent on a few countries that focus on EVs. A quick quote from him. While we mentioned BMW earlier, he said, "We must be careful because at the same time you increase dependency on very few countries. If you are not selling combustion engines anymore, somebody else will," said Zipsa, which I have a real problem with that statement. And, you know, I don't have a problem with BMW, but I have a problem with that phrase, "If you are not selling combustion engines, somebody else will." Well, yeah, that may be hard to argue against logically. But we know we have to move to EV for many, many reasons. But one of those is because it's the right thing to do, because we have to stop polluting the planet. It's one of the reasons, not the only reason, people buy EVs. Look, if you witness a riot happening and a supermarket gets looted, there's no point saying, "Well, I joined in by stealing a widescreen TV, because if I didn't nick the TV, somebody else would have done." Yeah, that's true, but you are also stealing and robbing from something that is there to provide for you. Much like, yes, you can carry on selling combustion cars, but you are destroying the very planet on which you might not have to rely on, Mr. Old Man Car Executive, but future generations will do. So maybe don't rob the shop during the riot. Maybe you have to, I don't know, have almost a higher moral compass. That's an interesting concept for many people, isn't it? And so, hey, I don't want to ever compare doing something illegal and suggest that that's what BMW are doing. I'll try and think of a better example than, you know, comparing them to rioters next time. But there's an interesting example, isn't it? Like, because you see somebody else doing something doesn't mean you have to, because, well, somebody else will nick that TV. Yeah, maybe just don't steal the widescreen TV. Maybe set an example to other people. I don't know. I'm shooting from the hip here. Let's talk about a giant floating fossil fuel mover. The world's largest, well, the world's first, I think, anyway, but at least the largest electric, pure electric powered tanker goes into service in Japan this month. It's going to be used for bunkering or filling up the tanks of larger ships in the harbour. In other words, it's going to be moving around fossil fuels, dirty oil, about 340,000 gallons of the stuff, by pure electric power. It has a 3,480 kilowatt hour battery. And Vice.com writes that it's about 100 batteries worth of typical EVs. Well, no, that wouldn't, because that'd be a 34.8 if you divide it by 100 kilowatt hour battery, which is, you know, Mazda MX-30 small. It's about 50 EVs worth of batteries, I would say. It's an inspiring accomplishment, says Vice.com, for a boat whose job is literally to enable the usage of fossil fuels. And it's not a technological breakthrough, because you can't use electric power for anything particularly long distance, but for this specific job, it does make perfect sense. Now, the long wheelbase version of the ID Buzz has been spied. They've disguised it as a T6 Caravelle, but we know it's the ID Buzz. I don't know why they're disguising it anymore. We know what the Buzz looks like, but it's a long wheelbase version that's coming to the US. It has a 77 kilowatt hour pack at the moment, but the platform can take 111 kilowatt hours. There's a fair chance that's what the battery would be, or at least around that size in the long wheelbase Buzz for the US market. 435 miles or 700 kilometres of range on WLTP cycle. Take it a bit less for the EPA, which tends to be a bit more realistic for real world. And that would certainly be a decent long distance EV for the US market. Right, final story today. Various studies have found the majority of real world car trips are well within the range of an EV. Next time somebody says to you, "I'd like to drive an electric car, but they don't go far enough," well, you might want to remind them of the 2016 study by MIT that concluded that current EVs, and that was 5 years ago, met the needs of 90% of drivers on the road. But I'm always told, hey, no, in America, people drive 4,000 miles to the corner shop to get a pint of milk. EVs don't work. Well, a new study for the Bureau of Transportation Statistics adds interesting data. The Maryland Transport Institute analyzed a completely anonymized national panel of mobile device data from multiple sources, and they found that in 2021, 52% of all US car trips were done less than 3 miles. Some 28% of the trips for less than 1 mile, and 2% were greater than 50 miles. So long distance travel, in other words, more than 50 miles, is completely in the minority, but it gets all of the attention, the mind share. What if I need to drive 400 miles on a, you know, single charge of battery? Can't be done, won't buy an EV. But hey, more than half, 52% of all trips in the United States were for distances less than 3 miles. Completely anonymized data based on mobile devices and where they move, from home to going out and going back home again. Hey, there's no reason not to have an EV. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. What cables should or shouldn't come with a new or used EV? Email me any feedback to hello@evnewsdaily.com. We'll make this a two-weeker on question of the week. I'll read them out on Sunday, 1st of May. This one will give it 2 weeks on this question. Question of the fortnight, I should start calling this, really, with emobilitynorway.com. Thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, emobilitynorway.com, and Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map, and one app. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.